till this day, I'm actually pretty uncomfortable sometimes creating these content because I'm just like, I'm so used to being this fashion girl creating beauty content and whatnot. Then I'm pivoting more towards comedy content, which is like so unusual of me. It took a lot of videos. I would say it took me over like 100 to 200 videos for me to get comfortable using my own sound, my own audio, but just putting yourself out there, getting yourself out there and being more comfortable with who you are on camera. So it's just a lot of repetition, a lot of just getting used to yourself.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where we teach you how to grow on social media by talking to people who have actually done it. People like Wen Tran, who has over 2.3 million followers on TikTok and over 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. And I cannot be more excited to have you on the podcast today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm excited to have you here. And where I want to start today, I want to know what got you into TikTok in the first place. From my understanding, you jumped on around April 2020. So it was, I'm assuming, a pandemic, not much else left to do. So you got on TikTok.
Same story as almost every other like influencer out there. And it was actually my friend, Michelle. She told me to get on TikTok for months and months. And I was like, I'm not interested in it. I don't really create video content because I was more of a Instagrammer. So I was like, I don't know. I just don't feel like putting out energy and whatnot. But obviously a pandemic changed and everything. And once I got on it, I was basically hooked. Like the growth on TikTok versus being on Instagram for so long was insane. Like people grew from nothing to millions within months. And it was something that you haven't seen on social media since the early Instagram days. So that's where I started.
And so what about, like, was it just the growth that captivated you about TikTok, or was there something else about the app that made you want to keep coming back and posting there?
I was actually a fashion channel or a fashion Instagrammer for a very long time. And so creating content has always been a part of me. And so when I went on TikTok, that was actually what I initially started to create. But then I saw that there wasn't really much of an audience there for what I was doing. And so I pivoted more towards something very niche, which was creating comedy content. And I saw that there was a lot of racial diversity within the TikTok community. And that kind of made me want to create my own community with people relating to growing up with strict parents. And so I just started to do more different style of videos. I started off as a trendy type of content creator where I just did lip syncing and I just did very short clips of trendy sounds. And I got momentum here and there, but it wasn't actually until I created my own content using my own voice that I started to blow up on TikTok.
That's interesting, because I feel like a lot of people, the common advice is like, use the trending hashtags, use the trending sounds, and follow all like the trending videos and you'll blow up. Why do you think for you, it was the reverse?
So trendy content is good when you don't know what to do. So for me, it was just me testing out different things, trying out different sounds and seeing what other people were doing. And I saw that people were saying, oh, create short form content or create very short clips, like 9-10 second clips. And that's what I did. And I saw like I was only getting a few hundred, sometimes a few thousand here and there, it will blow up. But I think it's more of people have to know who you are. So the thing with trendy sounds is that people don't know anything about you. They just know you based on your sound. And so you want to create content using your own voice because your own voice just sounds more organic. It has more, it just makes people relate to you more than just a face on a camera behind a sound.
And going from Instagram to TikTok, had you been making a lot of video content before, or was it a lot of pictures? And was the shift to TikTok then something you had to overcome, kind of making video content as opposed to photo content?
I feel like Instagram, I mostly created photo content back then. And on Instagram for years and years, I would just post and post because there's something I was very passionate about. So I had that type of mentality where I'll just stick through, I'll hustle through because I'm so used to creating content online. And I actually had a fashion YouTube channel for a good 6 months back in 2018. And I stuck with it for 6 months and I saw no growth on that either. So I just kind of gave up on that. And so I had a little bit of, I guess, dip I was able to dip my toes in the YouTube realm for a little bit, creating video content. But it wasn't, but creating comedy content was very new to me and something I was not familiar with at all. So it was almost like a complete 360 for me, going from taking pretty shots to being some silly person on the internet, creating just silly viral content.
Where did you find the comfort level then to make that switch? Because for a lot of people, even just getting on camera in the first place is hard enough. But so you're already on camera, but now you're trying to do something completely different. So how do you get comfortable creating this kind of content?
I'm actually still, till this day, I'm actually pretty uncomfortable sometimes creating these content, because I'm just like, you know, I'm so used to being this fashion girl creating beauty content and whatnot. Then I'm pivoting more towards comedy content, which is like so unusual of me. And it was so unusual of my current audience on my previous Instagram as well, which is why I created a new Instagram, because it was just a complete change. And it took a lot of videos. I would say it took me over like 100 to 200 videos for me to get comfortable using my own sound, my own audio, but just putting yourself out there, getting yourself out there and being more comfortable with who you are on camera. So it's just a lot of repetition, a lot of just getting used to yourself.
I appreciate you sharing that 100 to 200 videos. Cause I feel like a lot of people, especially some of the people listening to this, might want to kind of overcome that within like the first 5 to 10 videos, or go viral within the first 20 videos. You know, sometimes these things take a lot of time. So I really appreciate you sharing the fact that it wasn't always easy for you, and it took a substantial amount of videos to get to that point where you are comfortable on camera.
I was posting like 3 times a day for a good like 4 months, just posting and posting until I got used to what I wanted to do.
3 to 4 times a day. I think let's talk about that actually for a second, because I know, so you're posting 3 to 4 times a day, which people listening to this might be like, wow, that's a lot. I don't even know how to do that. But you were posting 3 to 4 times a day while in school, while also being a mom, you're a parent. How do you balance that? How do you find the time to post 3 to 4 times a day while doing all those other things at the same time?
The pandemic hit, so I was at home all day, and all I did all day was TikTok. And my daughter was pretty young at the time, so she didn't need as much attention as she does now. But my husband has been able to help me a lot with creating, like watching her while I create the content. And I was just doing it for fun, because a lot of the content I was creating previously were 9 to 10 seconds long, so I didn't even need much of my. I didn't need to like change characters or anything as much. I just kind of did something and then I just save it and then edit it later on. But it wasn't as scripting or anything like what I'm doing now. So it was a lot easier back then than it is now.
Okay. So you talk about kind of scripting there. So I'm curious, let's walk through your TikTok process, I guess. I think that's the next natural place to go here. There's more to a TikTok than it was. It's not just 9-10 seconds anymore. It's not just filming quickly. Like there's a lot of intention that goes into it. So I'm curious, like, first off, I guess the first place starts your ideas. How do you come up with ideas for your TikToks?
Oh, there's a saying that trauma creates very creative ideas. So I grew up as a child of immigrant, and my parents were always strict on me. So I kind of just used that idea, growing up with strict parents, as kind of like my stepping stone to creating the content I do now. And I just created a lot of series based on what I saw that was working for me. So a lot of my content nowadays are just series of series. I actually don't spend much time on TikTok, because I feel like it's a lot of consuming but not enough producing for what I want to get done. So I actually go on YouTube to find content, because YouTube is easier. It's easier to search content. It's easier to find content. And content that was actually posted 10 years ago are starting to resurface, because I've been searching just for comedy style content. And it's funny because they're still relevant to what I'm posting today. So I use I use YouTube as like basically my place to find creative ideas.
Interesting. So what are you searching up on YouTube then that kind of helps you find, like that helps you come up with these creative ideas?
Growing up with, now, obviously everyone is can relate to growing up with strict parents. So that's something I search for very much. And just more very lighthearted, relatable content, like your friends, how your friends act, or how your parents act in a certain situation, things that the general population can kind of relate to. So anything lighthearted, you know, when you get, what is it, types of people who drive or types of people who act this way under certain circumstances. So just anything comedy related.
Okay. That's an interesting point that you make, that like some of this content you said might even be like 10 years old, but that's right. Like that was probably the era of when skits were really popular on YouTube. So it's cool to see that kind of that cycle repeat itself again, now that you're using that previous cycle to kind of inspire the current one. That's super interesting to me. How do you then take, because obviously with YouTube, it's a little bit longer form than a TikTok. So how do you take an idea from like a, we'll say like a 7, 8, 10 minute video to a TikTok, which is like 45 seconds to 2 minutes, we'll say. Like, how do you condense those ideas into a shorter form?
I would say with YouTube, it's a lot more wordy. So there's a lot of fluff you can cut off from YouTube and translate it to TikTok content. So I try to make every second of my TikTok count, like everything I say has to be important, because if it's a very cliche phrase or if it's a very like generic phrase, people will scroll past immediately. But if you can make add humor to even like the split second, or is it every couple of seconds, add some type of humor to it, people will continue to watch. So there's a lot of fluff on YouTube that you can condense onto TikTok.
And so when you're watching these videos on YouTube, are you taking notes or anything? Do you have like a note app? Like how do those ideas translate from YouTube kind of to you to TikTok? Like what's the system look like for that? Is it just writing them down? Like what does that look like?
Yep. So I will have like a general idea of what I want to talk about. And then I will have basically three main points, you know, the start, the climax, and then the payoff. And after that, I will do my scripting. So my scripting comes last, because I have to make every word, since I have to make every word count, I have to make sure that every word that I put into my script is going to be funny or relatable in some sort of way. And it takes me about 2 to 3 days to find one video idea, script one video idea. It takes me like about a day to write, to have a general idea of what I want, and then another like day and a half to do the full scripting. So about each video takes me about 3 days to come up with.
Wow. So does that mean you're not posting every day then? You're posting every 3 days?
Yeah. So I'm posting. I used to post every day, and I kind of built a audience off of that. I don't have to necessarily post every day, and I still believe in quality over quantity. So there are days where I'll post like very just random videos and they won't get much attraction because I didn't try as hard. But I know there are content that my audience really wants from me, and I'll always like try to take care of them like they're my little baby as much as I can, because I know like how precious they are to my growth on TikTok.
I like that. You know, I feel like a lot of people preach the reverse. You know, they preach the quantity over quality, but I do, to your point, I agree that the audience can tell when you put that effort in. And so how do you script your TikToks? Do you use a Word document? Do you just write them in your notes app? Like what does the scripting process look like? Because I agree with you that it does, every word matters on TikTok. So I feel like a person listening to this could learn from that, how you script your TikToks that they could apply to themselves. So what does your process look like for scripting? Maybe you do a freehand. Do you have like a notebook? Like what does your scripting process look like?
It's everything. So I have a Word document open, like it's open 24/7. I actually have a whiteboard next to my Word doc, next to my laptop. And I actually text my husband the script ideas as well. And I sometimes I'll write it in my notes as well, but I've been mostly just texting it to him. So it's everywhere. Like my notes are just scrambled everywhere. And then like when the day comes, I'll actually put everything together. But for now, we've just been kind of just scrambling it all around. Like, because the thing about my video ideas is that it'll randomly come to me during the day. Like I can't just sit down and expect to have an idea right there, right then. I have to just take my time throughout the day, just have like random ideas of what can be funny or what can be relatable to my audience, and just find, and I just look at every day for humor. So I'll go to school, then I'll think about what can be funny during school that people can relate to, what can be funny at the store that people can relate to. Just finding inspiration in everyday experiences is what is the key thing.
And writing for humor is tough. Like trying to get people to, because everyone that watches your videos, they are supposed to laugh at a specific point in time that you're kind of planning as you're writing. How do you think about that in your writing process? Like how do you write the punchline of these jokes that hopefully everybody's laughing at the same point?
There's this really great book called How to Write Funny, and I highly recommend that book. So in the book, the author talks about ways that you can, you know, things that people will find funny. So the highest level of humor is actually satire, which is the level that I really want to get to at one point. And one of the other style of humor is through physical comedy. So like punching someone down. You never want to punch up, you want to punch down. And the style of humor that I typically go for is physical comedy at some point in my videos. And my style is that I like to switch to different scenarios every 9 to 10 seconds because it keeps my audience engaged. So there's going to be like my video is almost kind of like Vine. Are you familiar with Vine? Pretty sure. So they're very like short 6 to 9 second clips. And I kind of get my inspiration from the style of videos because I feel like people today still watch Vine if they could. And so I make my skits, my scenes very short and very cut to the chase. And every scene has to be funny one way or another, whether it's in what I say or what, or whether it's in physical comedy. So that's how I kind of split my ideas.
And I want to jump back to something you said that you're talking about how with that book, How to Write Funny, the highest level of comedy is satire and you want to work up to satire. How do you work up to writing satire? Like, how do you have deliberate practice with a creative work? Like when you're an athlete, let's say you're a basketball player, if you want to get better at a specific shot, you can just take that shot over and over again. But as creatives, it's tough to kind of have a deliberate practice like that. So in your mind right now, how do you practice and work up to getting to satire?
I know for sure that by getting to that process, I'm going to have to fail. So when I do my skits, every time I do them, I try to come up with more ways to be more funny or things I can say that's more funny. Like right now, I'm trying to learn how to use puns more. So that's something that there's always something you can learn as a writer, as a comedy writer. And getting to that level, like you just got to keep creating content, If it doesn't stick, then just keep creating it. Because the thing that I've learned a lot is that people, there's always going to be someone who finds it funny, and it's up to you to continue to make it more general for the audience to find it funny.
How do you push through when you fail? Because a lot of people, that's the point where they give up and they quit when there is failure, especially when there's repeated failure, which I'm sure, you know, as a creative, that's going to happen to you all the time. You're going to fail over and over and over again. How do you push through when that happens?
I think a lot of it is going to just have to be just staying consistent and just don't give up. Because a lot of people, they give up when they see low views or when they see that they're not getting traction as much as they used to, but they don't realize that when they first started, there was like no traction. So the fact that they have some traction now means that there is an audience for that specific content they're creating. So just staying consistent and just when there's a mental block, just take a break, go do something, and then go back to your craft. A lot of people have that willpower, but then obviously some people won't. So it's just a lot of just trying to, if you really love it, you will continue to create content.
And you mentioned too how you keep your videos, you have a lot of cuts. You know, you try every 6 to 9 seconds, you're kind of switching the scenario. Did that come out of, is that something you kind of stumbled upon intuitively? Or did that come from kind of studying your analytics and watching your retention times and things like that?
See, when I first started, it was, when I started using my own voice, I was doing 15, 18 second clips. Then I saw that my views were slowly going down. And so I tried to find different ways in order to increase the views again. And I saw that when I created longer content, I was getting more views. And so I saw that each story, if it's too boring, then I got to switch it up somehow. And by doing these short soundbite clips, it was able to keep my audience retention while keeping my watch time high. So it was just more of like trial and error and seeing what worked. There was the first video to ever go viral for me, or I guess not one of the first videos that would go viral for me was, it's called Mom Tried to Catch You Slack Off. And I just did like 3 random scenarios of mom trying to catch you slack off. There were only about like 5-6 second clips. And I thought that this style was working. I was like, you know, this is working. Why don't we just keep it from here? Yeah, keep going from here.
How do you balance? Because when you have a content like that, like you can turn it into a series and you get to kind of have a repeatable series, you know, will do relatively well. How do you balance wanting to kind of run with what's working and kind of keep doing it over and over again while it's hot versus not just latching on to one specific content type? And then when that, then like, having your whole page go down when that one content series stops working. It's like, how do you balance a series that's working really well, but not wanting to be just known as that person that does that one series?
I would always try to find new series to work with based on what series I was able to work previously. Like say, my first series was Mom Trying to Catch Your Sock Off, and that one took off for a very long time. And then I saw that I added a grandma character. So I accidentally added, not accidentally, but I added a grandma character, and I saw that people were really enjoying her personality. And so I started to do a spinoff of that, which is Grandma Got Your Back. And that one did really well. And so I think it's just more of like looking at the comment section, seeing what my audience likes, what my audience were really enjoying, and trying to create a series off of what they were already enjoying within my current content.
How often are you looking at the analytics? Do you have like a formal, like once a week, once a month, where you sit down, you look at everything to try and figure out what's working, what's not? Is it kind of just like a day-to-day, you just see the numbers casually and that's how it influences you? Like, what's your review process look like for the analytics and the metrics?
It's so hard because it depends on the overall length of your video, because some videos would do really well and it's really short. Some videos would do poorly and it's really short. I would say it's weird though. I should be looking at my analytics of all my videos, but I tend to look at the ones that do badly because it just hits me. I'm like, why did that one not do well, but that one did? But it's usually because of watch time. So I try not to look at it too much, and I just focus more on like trying to get people to complete the video rather than just trying to focus too much on the analytics. Like, I don't look at shares. I don't look at likes. I don't look at comments are important if they're from people who aren't following you. But if they're from your current followers, I feel like it's not as important. The FYP pushes more content when it's more random people like watching your content, obviously. But I don't really look at too much of my analytics other than like comments from people, from followers versus non, and watch time and completion time.
Interesting. I've never heard anybody talk about the fact that comments from people that don't follow you are weighted more highly in the algorithm. But that makes sense because that means that that's resonating with a new kind of audience. So TikTok can keep kind of pushing it towards this new audience. That's interesting. I've never heard anybody say that before. And when it comes to kind of completion percentage and retention, have you noticed that a longer video can have a worse retention percentage than a shorter video, but if it's a longer total time watched, it'll get pushed out more than like a short video with higher retention? Like, where the overall average view is longer on a longer video, but the total percentage of the video watched is shorter. Do you think that matters as much, or is it just kind of the retention time overall that matters? Does that make sense? I don't know if that question made sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, I've compared it both ways, and to me, it doesn't make sense one way or the other. As long as people are watching it fully, it'll matter. But when you're comparing completion versus retention, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you, because I actually didn't start creating. So most of my content has always been around like the 34 or 35 second mark. And it wasn't until recently that I started making more like 50-second clips. And some of them will do well in the long run, but some of them won't. So it's kind of hard for me to say.
I mean, that's fair. And I appreciate that. You know, you're not just making up an answer, just trying to have an answer. I appreciate you saying that you don't necessarily have an answer. And I'm curious. One thing for attention that you're doing is obviously you're having the quick cuts, the quick scene changes every 9 seconds, 6 to 9 seconds. Is there anything else you're doing to increase retention in your videos, or is that the main one?
I noticed recently, like when I tried to incorporate more things that my audience love personally, it'll get more views. So say I talk about, are you familiar with the K-pop group BTS?
Yeah, of course.
So of course, I did a video recently where I, you know, in my caption, I was like, who else is a BTS fan? And that was actually like one of the first times I actually got 300 comments in a while, and it was just from that one question. So I feel like tapping into what your audience likes outside of your content, like more something more like pop culture related, it'll definitely get more views.
Interesting. And I also think with that video in particular that you're talking about, you didn't mention BTS until later in the video. So it's not like you'd ask a random question that's unrelated to your video. So you're asking a question based off something that happens at the near the end of the video. So people are going to watch through to try and figure out where BTS shows up in that video as well.
Exactly.
I like that a lot. It's leveraging the caption to help increase your retention. What about hooks? Because, you know, when I think of a TikTok hook, I like with my content, like you've seen a couple of it where I'm talking directed camera. So when I think of a hook, I'm thinking of like a bold statement that's going to catch your attention right off the hop. But like for you, it's a different approach because you're doing skits and stuff. So it's not like you're going to look to the camera, and make a bold statement to get people to watch. So how do you think about doing hooks with skit videos?
My audience. So I guess for me, it's different because I already have a loyal fan base. So I know which type of content is going to work for me. If I was starting out and I want to hook the audience, I would have to do something very impactful within the first 3 to 5 seconds. So whether it's like some kind of punchline or some kind of funny thing happening within the video, that'll keep the audience retention. But the thing is that even if you keep your audience attention for those first 5 seconds, you got to make sure you maintain the audience attention throughout the video as well. Because if it's funny in the first 5 seconds and it's not funny within like the next 10 seconds, people are going to scroll past anyways. So for the hook, I don't really know. Like, I guess you can say like you just got to cut right to the chase. You got to make something happening within the first 2-3 seconds. So something very impactful happening, based on what you said earlier.
And how do you get somebody from a viewer? How do you turn a viewer into a follower on TikTok? What do you do? Is it just like, is it viewer satisfaction? So they really like the videos, they subscribe. Like, how do you think about converting your viewership into subscribers or into followers?
Yeah, definitely viewer satisfaction. So say you get a follower, they are expecting a specific content from you, and you got to make sure that you create a similar style of content within your next video in order to keep the viewer. So when I was starting out, I was creating content left and right, and I had no niche, and I wasn't getting much followers from that. And even if you were say for me, I was still creating comedy content. My style of comedy content was all over the place. I was ranging from like couples comedy to, strict mom comedy to school comedy, and it was just something like, my audience, they knew that was comedy, but they didn't know which type of style of comedy I was in. And so in order to keep the audience like coming back for more, you just got to make sure that you can create content that got you viral in the first place, or that they followed you for in the first place.
That's an important thing. You know, I used to keep creating content that they showed up for, because you see so many people go viral for this random video that has nothing to do with the rest of their content, and then people follow them, but then the rest of their views aren't good because the content they went viral for has nothing to do with the rest of their videos. So how do you kind of, with that in mind, how do you make sure you enjoy this content first? Because it would have been bad if you created a certain content type that you didn't enjoy making and went viral for that and had to keep creating that. So how do you make sure, you know, you kind of talked about comedy videos was something you weren't necessarily comfortable with in the beginning. How did you make sure you enjoyed those before you went viral? Because I feel like some people, they're just so focused on getting attention, they don't stop thinking about what they want to get attention for. So how did you kind of think through your comedy videos and know that this was something you're going to be okay creating for the long haul?
I think it was just something that I know universally a lot of people can relate to. And so when my first viral moment hit, I was able to create more content off of that because it was something that I knew I can definitely create more content from. It was more of doing a lot of random things in the beginning and then finding something you're comfortable with. And I was actually creating that style of comedy through Trendy Sounds before. And I was doing it for a good, I would say like the strict parent type of persona comedy. I was doing it a month before it went viral. So it was something that I was already kind of like used to doing. And so it blew my mind, the fact that when I switched to use my own voice was when like it started to blow up more.
When somebody watches one of your videos, what do you want the feeling to be? What should their takeaway be after they watch one of your videos?
Definitely positive. I don't want like people to follow me because of some kind of like dark joke that I made or anything. So I guess my comedy style is just more lighthearted, something more wholesome. So my grandma character is very wholesome and my audience really loves her. So I try to make more content around that character that everyone can kind of enjoy and love. And I just want to be able to give my audience a good feeling for the day. So. even if it's within a 30-second clip.
I like that. I feel like we're seeing slowly seeing a shift to more positive type content. I feel like for a long time, it's been the negative videos, the videos that make fun of other people. Those have been the most popular. But I think we're starting to see that shift now, where more positive and feel-good content is starting to be some of the more popular stuff.
I would say, like, especially with the pandemic, everything was so negative on social media. And so I just want, like, my place to be kind of like a safe spot for my audience to come and enjoy something more lighthearted that can get rid of, like, their bad feeling of the day, even if it's just for 30 seconds.
And with your audience, you know, you're making their day, but how do you deepen that connection with them? Because there's one thing for them to just be someone that watches your video, but how do you turn kind of a follower into a fan, essentially? How do you build that community and deepen that connection with the people that watch your videos?
There's actually a really good book called Superfans by Pat Flynn, and I really recommend that to, like, any content creator out there. So there's two styles of content that I'm now focusing on. So it's one is the general content, which is something that my audience already loves and kind of knows me for. But there's also the nurturing content that I would love my audience to also watch too. But even if it's just like 10% of my audience watching my nurturing content, I'm happy with that. But it's something that I personally enjoy and something that they can watch if they want to get to know more about me. So having those two type of content, but always making my comedy content my main focus is how I'm able to, like, nurture my audience.
And what would your advice be to the person listening to this that they're not getting a lot of views on TikTok right now? You know, they're struggling. They're putting out quite a bit of videos. They're not getting the views they want. Like, what would your advice be to that person?
I would say stick to it and change up what is working or what isn't working. I guess it depends on the person though. Like, if they're just starting out, I would say post as much as you can, but create content that you are already passionate about, because the worst thing you can do is create a viral content that you can get momentum from. So create content that you're passionate about. And for the people who are currently maintaining their audience, so someone like me, I would recommend to slightly change your content, because what I've learned from the algorithm for the past 2 years is that it changes every single day. So even if your content may do good today, it may not do good tomorrow. But since the algorithm changes, like, every so often, your videos will eventually get pushed out again, and you can always repurpose those content that didn't do well initially and repost it again to your new audience once you get that momentum. Because the whole thing about with the social media is that you have to be really consistent. Like, you can't just post once, it does bad, and you just give up. You just got to stay consistent, even if it's like even if you're not feeling it for the day, even if your viewers aren't there. I've had a lot of moments where my viewers were, like, super low and I wasn't happy with where I'm going, but being able to just try to change things up, staying creative is really how you grow, because your audience are going to get bored of your content one way or another if you don't change it up. So you have to always try to find new ways to stay creative, new ways to create a series. Series are, like, probably the number one reason why I'm able to do what I do now. So by creating similar style content in different ways and telling the same story in different situations is how I was able to just continuously entertain my audience without burning out.
And for those series, is that just like you wait until a certain type of content takes off and then you just recreate it in those different ways because you know it's done well in the past? Is that how you come up with series, or do you just like come up with series, just whatever you think might be a good series, you turn into a series, or do you let the top performing content become a series?
Yeah, the top performing content becomes a series, but also content that I really enjoy to create that I know I can improve on can also potentially become a series. Because with my series, some of them will pop up immediately, but some of them will take me a couple of times to test it out to see what type of pacing works, what type of timing works, what type of like situation works, essentially. But some series won't take off until like 3 to 4 to 5 videos later. So just got to keep going what you're really passionate about.
What's something you think a lot of people get wrong about creating content for TikTok?
They just give up too quick and they expect everything to be easy, but it's really not that way anymore. Like, with TikTok, people nowadays, it's a lot easier to grow now than it will be in the next year. And so I feel like a lot of people are just giving up too soon and they expect everything to pop up really quick, but social media doesn't work that way. Like, honestly, I've been on social media since I was since 2013, so since I was 21. I've always been creating content, and it wasn't actually until I started TikTok that my YouTube took off, and my, and I guess that you could say I restarted my Instagram too, but my TikTok took off. But I would say like people are expecting this whole, the social media realm to be so easy, like everything to be so quick, because that's all they see. They all see the success, but they never see the failure. But for me, it's, I've been creating content for so long that I'm so used to it. Like I can't imagine myself not creating content.
Why? So we'll say like 2013, you start, you don't get traction, like some really good traction till TikTok. That's 7 years you created content without really kind of getting a ton of traction. You might have had a little bit here and there, maybe a little bit on Instagram, some on YouTube, but now like where you're at now with over 2.3 million subscribers or followers on TikTok, like that wasn't happening before. So why did you keep going in that 7 year period where you weren't having millions of people following you? Why'd you keep going?
Let's see. I've always been like a social media person before it was actually considered social media. So I was 9 years old and that's when I started getting into gaming. And back then we didn't have like Instagram. We had, what was it? We had MySpace, Zynga, and forums. That was like our chat room. And so I've always seen myself as someone who had an online presence, even if my online presence was kind of like unknown when I was younger, obviously for privacy reasons. But I just never saw myself outside of social media. And I don't know, I can still see myself within social media the next like 5 to 10 years. So it's just something that I've always kind of grew up with and I've always kind of gotten used to as an extension of myself.
So as someone who's kind of been born and raised on social media, we'll say you've been on social media for a long time now. If you were to start over tomorrow, you know, you woke up tomorrow morning, you had zero subscribers on YouTube, zero followers, zeros everywhere. What would you do to grow back to where you are today?
Knowing what I know now or without knowing what I know now?
Knowing what you know now, but starting from scratch.
I would use my, I guess if you were talking about video content, I would definitely use my voice. I would skip over the trendy sounds. If you're going to use trendy sounds, make sure it's like in the background or it's something relevant to your content, but I would just use my voice. I would just talk and speak my mind. I would use maybe like the features that the app provide, or TikTok provides, such as the stitching or duets, but I would do short content, like about 9 to 10 second clips, get people get used to who you are, and then pivot towards more long form clips, about like, you know, 30 to 40 seconds, whichever you prefer. But I would take it easy and try to create momentum, just create very like generic, I guess, silly skits and whatnot, and then start to be more serious during my process, because you just want to get like, I guess the thing with social media is that you want to create momentum initially in the first place. So you want to create as much as you can for however long you want, and then slowly pivot more towards like longer form content or content that you know that will take off. Because that's actually something I did with YouTube. When I did the YouTube Shorts, I wasn't getting momentum at all in the first like 3 months or 2 months I was posting on YouTube Shorts. So what I did was I repurposed my old shorter content, and then I repurposed my longer content. And I saw that I wasn't getting traction at all either. And then I repurposed my old content again. So I actually repurposed my content like 2 times on YouTube Shorts in order to get momentum. Because I saw like the algorithm wasn't recognizing who I am until like later on, or was it 2 months down? So that's just like what I would do, is just try to repurpose your content. Post a lot of content initially. That's the only way you're going to get momentum. Because the thing is that you don't want to create your best content initially, because that's going to burn you out. So you want to create very simple content and then create your specialized content later on.
With YouTube now, so you're sitting over, you mentioned YouTube Shorts, you're at over 500,000 on YouTube today. Is it the same type of like when you're posting your shorts on YouTube versus on TikTok, is it the TikToks that do really well, are those also the YouTube Shorts that do really well, or is it sometimes you notice that different videos do well on the different platforms?
Most of the time it performs, actually YouTube Shorts has been performing better for me than on TikTok recently. I noticed that with YouTube, people there are already used to long form content, so you're able to get away with having longer content without having that quick type of like style that I typically do in TikTok. So I actually repurposed a longer form of one of my skits on YouTube, and it actually got more views than it does on TikTok. I would say, like, the audience on YouTube, they are more, you can say that they're more, like, lenient when it comes to their watch time. So they're more forgiving. They don't really scroll as quick as TikTok users do.
So are you posting, like, are they the exact same videos? Like, when you post TikTok, do you then take that same video and post it on YouTube Shorts? Or are you creating specific content for YouTube Shorts, specific content for TikTok, specific content for Instagram Reels? Or is it just the same video posted multiple times?
I've done videos where I recreated my TikTok videos into longer form and posted on YouTube. But for the most part, I've just repurposed my TikTok videos to YouTube Shorts and the same one to Instagram Reels. Instagram Reels, they really favor shorter form content, is what I've noticed in the algorithm lately. It's like my 10 to 12 second clips will go more viral than my longer form clips. So that's something very interesting about the three platforms. So with TikTok, not the same audience is going to be on YouTube, not the same audience is going to be on Instagram. So you kind of just have to figure out which audience is there and create the content specifically for that audience.
That's interesting because I feel like a lot of people, they think that if you see, you know, someone on TikTok with a lot of followers on TikTok and a lot of subscribers on YouTube, like yourself, they'd assume that's like a lot of people that came over from TikTok to YouTube. What you're saying is it's completely different.
It's either different or the fact that my audience, they didn't know that I exist on that platform. So they didn't follow me on that platform, but then they do now. But I would say it's probably a new audience because I know that TikTok is banned in India. So a lot of my subscribers on YouTube Shorts, they're actually some of my Indian subscribers who aren't able to see my content on TikTok. And YouTube, I think it has a larger base than TikTok. So you'll see a lot more, there's going to be a lot more views pulled into the Shorts. I actually was scrolling through the YouTube Shorts feed, and I noticed that a lot of people their videos are a lot more slow paced compared to what you see on TikTok too.
Do you take time to study the algorithms then? Or is it just kind of something like, as a creator, you just kind of notice these things casually? Or do you set aside time to really try and understand how the algorithms work?
I actually tried to take my time to understand how algorithms work on YouTube Shorts and on Instagram Reels before I hopped on it. So on Shorts, I was actually posting on Shorts for a good here and there during 2021. And I didn't take it seriously until the end of 2021, where I actually scheduled all of my TikToks to my YouTube Shorts for a good month and a half, just so I don't have to worry about it. And it was very time consuming, but it was really worth it. And it was just more of like the algorithm one day picked up my video, and then everything started to pick up after that.
And I'm curious, like, so, you know, you're posting on all the different platforms, you know, you're creating content, it takes you 3 days to make a video. And we talked about, you know, you're also a graduate student, also a parent. Like, what's your day-to-day? What's your schedule look like to make all this happen?
I go to school. I wake up around like 7 or 8 in the morning now. I used to wake up later, but now I've been waking up earlier just so I can get more done during the day. I would go to school from like 9 to 5. And then after that, I would just either script or create content. And then I'll obviously spend my time with my little daughter. And then after she sleeps, I'll create even more content. Like, my best time for me to think about videos is actually when everything is quiet, when there's no distractions. So I stay up pretty late thinking about video ideas.
And so if it takes 3 days to script a video, are you scripting multiple videos in that time? Is that when you do film, you can film multiple videos at once? Or are you just scripting one video, filming one video, scripting one video, filming one video?
It depends. Some days I'll just have video ideas after one another and I'll film them all in one day. But there are days where I just have one video idea for the week and then I'll just film like that one for that day. And then another one for another day. So it's just kind of everywhere. Like, I wish I was able to batch content, but with how my schedule is, it's not really that easy.
What's something about being a TikToker that people might not realize?
Just because you have followers doesn't mean you can make a lot of money. So the thing about TikTok is that I always see comments about people saying, hey, you know, like, I have this many followers, I have 2 million followers, I'm barely getting brand deals, what's going on? Then I'll look at their page and their page is not very like advertiser friendly. And so a lot of people say, oh, that's so cool, like, you have so many followers. But then you look at the page and it's like, yeah, but I don't make any money. Like, well, just because you have a lot of followers doesn't mean you have like you're able to make a lot of money. The community is really what helps you get you those brand partnerships.
So what's an example of like a page that isn't brand friendly, that doesn't do well with brand sponsorships?
I would say like brands that use trend, or is it pages that use too much trendy sounds, and like their clip is only about 9 to 12 seconds long. So the brands can't really see themselves in there because they don't recognize the person's voice, or they don't recognize that their videos are too short for the brand to see themselves within. So those type of content, those type of pages, and pages that are more like that uses too much dark humor. So advertisers obviously stray away from that too.
For yourself as a creator, you know, you're seeing all the other pages, you know, you're looking at, I know you don't try to spend too much time on TikTok, but I'm sure there is some time that you end up on there anyways.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever do you ever deal with like the comparison trap?
Definitely. There are people who started the same time as me, and they have like a million followers on Instagram now from that. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And it blew up from same following as me up to like 8 to 10 million. I'm like, wow, that's insane. Like, how do you get that? You know, but you have to also understand that everybody is in their own path. Not everyone is going to grow the same. Not every content is going to relate to the audience you're trying to reach. So just trying to stick in your own lane, try not to compare yourself a lot, try to create content that brings value to your audience, and you will grow. Because the thing is that you can grow and you can blow up so quick on social media, but if you aren't consistent, then you won't succeed on social media. So for me, I try not to compare myself because I just want to stay consistent. I'm trying to do it for the long run, and I'm trying to just create a community over time.
And so what's the long-term vision? Like, what's your ideal scenario, the outcome of all this work you're putting in? Like, what's the long-term goal?
I'm kind of there already. Like, I'm happy with where I'm at right now. But at the same time, I just want to be able to create content in the next 5 to 10 years. Even if it's not me as the face of my content, I can do something behind the scene. Because I've developed, like, by doing all of the stuff that I've been doing so far, I've been able to develop the skill of, like, creating content through storytelling, through visuals, through understanding what my audience wants, that I can actually, if I wanted to, I can go ahead and like create an anonymous YouTube channel of content that I also enjoy, that behind the scene without my face in it. So I can see myself just being a content creator overall in the next 5-10 years is just something that I see myself as.
Is that something that you're actively thinking about doing, is creating that account where you're not the face?
No, that's something a long term. I would. I can't tell you because I don't want to like jinx myself. But that's something that in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, because social media, like, people come and go so much. I want to be a content creator without always being the face of it, because it is very stressful when you have your face on social, because people are expecting you to always be there. And so having something, so being able to be on social media in the long run without having my face on it, something I can see myself doing, because it's just not as stressful as, you know, being the face of it all.
100%. And I really appreciate your time for jumping on this podcast. I know we're almost at a time here. So I'm going to jump to my last question. And for the last question, I like to flip the script a little bit. So instead of me asking the question, it's you asking the question, but it's not to me. So pretend you have a crystal ball and you can ask this crystal ball any question. You'll get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
Will I still be on social media when I'm 50 years old?
I like it. I like it. Very in line with the last question we talked about with creating content for the long run. I like that question. But I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. I want to give you the floor now. I know we've talked about your TikTok and your YouTube throughout, but I want to give you the floor. Where can the people find you, plug anything and everything you got right now?
You can find me at WinTXO on Instagram and WinTran on YouTube. And yeah, that's and TikTok, obviously, but that's where I'm at.
Awesome. Well, make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so people can find it. And I want to thank you once again for taking time to come on the podcast. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Whether you've listened the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces, I really appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Wen on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Like I said, everything will be linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by Serve. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.